We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I am talking about this one. I do mean this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, we got plenty on tap for you. I got a few more text messages. Let me get those cleaned up because like the last few days I've not been able to keep up. So let me try to keep up today. Jerry from Decatur says, so much for DEI and the Muslim New York Jets head coach. Oh, wow. Okay, did not know that, but all right.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. Ronnie from Danville says, Phil, John Kennedy would kick the dirt off his grave if he knew what Democrats are doing now. I agree. In fact, I'm pretty sure he'd be a Republican. Ken from Rimlap says, did that Florida mayor think about what she was saying? Was it a she or a he? I thought it was a he.
The Tampa mayor? Yeah, it was a she.
A she? Okay. Mm-hmm. And okay. Did she think about what she was saying? Apparently.
Yeah. I think they're just trying. I mean, when you say it bluntly like that, you're trying to get directly to the people who are refusing to leave.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've known folks who like, rode out the storm on Dauphin Island way back in the day. Was it Hurricane Ivan? I forgot which one. It was one of the Hurricane Frederick. That's what it was. Hurricane Frederick back in the late 70s. It was devastating and wiped out parts of Dauphin Island, and they rode that thing out. And I'm thinking, why?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's your house, but no one's coming to loot Dauphin Island. So anyway, well, blessings on them. Prayers for the people of Florida especially. And then, you know, we don't know where the storm track's going to go. I think it's going to spin off. I think it's going to spin off into the Atlantic. Is that right? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's what the projections show. But if you've seen the footage of it in Cancun.
Oh, really? I've not seen that.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, Cancun, it was still Cat 4 when it was slamming Cancun, wasn't it?
It may have been Cat 5 even. I think it's lower down to Cat 4 because it went over the land. But, yeah, it hit Cancun full force. It was the videos I've seen have been really wicked.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll report as we go. But if you have friends, family, or colleagues down yonder in the Florida region who are thinking about riding things out, tell them this is not the one. All right. Board up the windows, put the cat in the car, and get gone. And I have to wonder, too. This is one of those things where we're watching the interstates just jammed up right now. I just can't help but wonder, how's it going to go with the first major hurricane season since electric vehicles became all the thing? I just wonder how many electric vehicles are going to be sitting on the side of the road. I can't help but wonder. And then once they get wiped out, where do they go get charged? You got to get down out of the mountains. And, I mean, that Tesla truck looks cool, but you still got to charge that bad boy. So this is going to be interesting. All right, enough of that. Let's jump on Dipper number one. So first of all, just know this. The down ballot races are going to mean as much as everything. Now a quick you know, kind of down and dirty on where we are in terms of the overall, the presidential race. It is right now being said that this may be one of the closest races in recorded time. I mean, we're looking at, since our nation was founded, there have been a few elections where maybe one state decided things. This looks like it's going to be one of them. So right now, a piece I've got here from ABC News, from their polling section, talks about the fact that in the 2024 race that we're in right now, that the presidential election forecast is currently, as of the last couple of days, slightly in the advantage of Kamala Harris, they say. It depends on which one you look at, really. But right now, they're saying that it is so close, though, that it's a razor's edge. That we're looking at, right now, we have Harris leading in Michigan. These are the battleground states. Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Trump leading by about a point in Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina. I can't help but wonder what happens with North Carolina's voting with, you know, the wipeout we've seen in the western half of the state. I don't know how the breakdown is, whether that was considered to be a liberal enclave or conservative enclave, whether they'll get to vote at all. I don't know how it's going to work. But the tipping point, though, is, you know, whoever gets to 270 electoral votes. So the popular vote be darned. The reality is what we're looking at is who gets to 270 on the Electoral College. And right now, what we're seeing is that the most likely tipping point, the most likely scenario in which everything rides is Pennsylvania. like in running the numbers right now, 538's presidential forecast says that in running the numbers right now, in 18 out of 100 cases, the Keystone State, Pennsylvania, becomes the state that makes the difference. Because there are so many scenarios. Well, this state could go that way. Well, that state has a split electoral college. Well, we got, you know, you don't know for a fact, so you have to run all the scenarios. But when the computer simulations run them all out, bam. The majority of times, in terms of other outcomes, that a single state makes a difference, it winds up being Pennsylvania. The next most likely, believe it or not, one of them is North Carolina. So now what happens in the wake of Hurricane Helene? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I mean, are we seeing whole sections that get negated? I don't know. But if it's not going to be Pennsylvania, the next most likely tipping points are said to be North Carolina, Michigan, Georgia, and Florida. Florida's getting slammed right now. So we're looking at two of the states that are second only to Pennsylvania being swing state deciders. Could be North Carolina or Florida. Now, I think Florida is pretty much in the Republican camp now. I think that state's fairly well. I mean, it's not like it's entirely red, but it is at the very least leaning Democrat. I mean, leaning Republican. But if you look at what I mean, the campaigns know it. There's an entire science devoted to devising where to spend the money. So right now, like as of mid-September, Harris and pro-Harris groups have reserved like $76 million in ad buys just in Pennsylvania. $76 million in ad buys just in... It's a crying shame that we're not on the station in a swing state right now. We'd be selling political ads like crazy. $76 million just for the Harris campaign in Pennsylvania. $61 million for Trump and pro-Trump outfits. That's like $137 million in ads. That's like 25% of all campaign ads bought for the presidential races are being bought just in the seven leading swing states right now. 137 million of them right there in Pennsylvania. So we're like, okay, right now Michigan has the next most. Then you got, Michigan second in terms of people, the campaigns buying ads. Now, so when has it been this close? In modern history, the most famously like controversial race, the one that came down to a single state, was Florida. Don't forget, it was the whole Bush-Gore election of 2000. We came like that close, y'all, that close to having, people can't see my hands. I'm like making the little bitty symbol. That close to having Al Gore as president after 9/11. Can you imagine? So the entire nation in the 2000 election with George Bush and Al Gore came down to one county, Palm Beach County, 537 votes. Out of the 6 million that were cast just in the state of Florida for that election, the whole thing swung on 537 vote difference or margin in one county. Changed the whole race. I mean, the race was tied not knowing how Florida's electoral votes would be cast. And out of the entire state, just a mere handful of people in one county, after they finally got the voting squared away, is what gave us a president. You got to go all the way back like to the 19th and early 20th centuries to find anything close to that. Apparently, there was a big race in 1876. I'm looking at something from ABC. It says that even more controversial than 2000 was the 1876 election. Rampant voter suppression. Of strongly Republican-leaning black voters by white supremacists, it says. And so it's basically saying the South suppressed the black vote in the 1876 election, and it was believed to have made a difference. Then there was 1880, 1884, 1888, where New York was the one state that changed the way things ran in terms of the Electoral College. So all I'm saying is we haven't seen a race this close since we've had one in 2000, but we're looking at a narrow, narrow margin. Now, that's just the presidential. Let's talk about the down ballot. I'll tell you what, I'll go to the phone real quick first. Let me do that. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing okay, but it was a down ballot that it was primarily calling about, especially for our friends up in North Carolina and that corner of Tennessee. And that North Carolina has apparently signed something to where they can put ballots in other districts or areas, how are they going to, North Carolina, how entire nation are they going to get all these ballots printed out with the correct down ballots based on where they are?
I have no idea. I think if anything, they're going to have legislative control over that too, because the Secretary of State can't just make the decision on his own. We saw that.
And how long?
Yeah, exactly.
I would have said earlier when you asked how I was doing, I would have said I'll be better in a month, maybe. But with all that going on and all the counting, I don't know.
Well, let's hope we're all better in a month. How about that?
All right, sir. That'll do it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm looking at a piece here. Let's talk about the down ballot. The Senate races have really tightened up, y'all. Listen, if we get the White House, we, conservatives, Republicans, if we get the White House, it's going to be big doings, because you can already see what can happen. But think about what can really happen if we are able to come in with both the House and the Senate, as well as the White House. It's going to be the sky's the limit at that point. And I'm going to tell you right now, Trump's going to come in with a good mad. If we can get that done, there's going to be a feverish pitch to repeal things, to pass things, to rectify things, and there better be. I don't want to see any more of this, you know, Mitch McConnell, well, we're just going to go along to get along. Never promised you a rose garden. I mean, we've got to get past that point. There's a question about who will be the leadership, but right now what we're looking at is, I got a piece here from Real Clear Politics. On the down ballot, it says just a few months ago, Democrats were really worried. They had already conceded Joe Manchin's West Virginia seat. They had long odds to return John Tester to office. But now it appears that some races are tightening back up. They're even saying that Texas and Florida have the potential. Keep in mind, there's only two senators per state. So you've got the latest poll in the Florida Senate race with Rick Scott, just barely over. I take it not to barely. He's like a couple of points ahead of, he's the incumbent Republican over Debbie McCarsel's Powell, hyphenated name. So he leads by 4.3. Okay, that's good. 4.3 points is a pretty decent lead. The margin of error is less than that. Margin of error, if you're not familiar in polling, means, like, say it's going to be, it's a 51-49, but the margin of error is 2 points. Well, that means it's anybody's race, really, because it's a 2-point spread. In Texas, Ted Cruz, a guy named Colin Allred is a Democrat opposing Ted Cruz. And Colin Allred has been actually closing in, except that at one point, Cruz was up by 8, then he's up by 3, now he's back up by 4. I think Cruz is going to be fine, but people are starting to wonder about Florida and Texas being a little bit more in play. If Republicans lost either one of those, the Democrats hold their leads in their swing states, it's a 50-50 tie, and whoever's the vice president is the one that makes the difference. We don't need that. But, that's not the end of the story. In the Senate, you got in Ohio, you got Senator Sherrod Brown, who's ahead by 5 points, but he's been declining. I mean, he's only up by 2. He was up by 5 points. He's only up by 2. Now he's inside the margin of error. The Republican could close in on Ohio, and don't forget, that's J.D. Vance's state, so that's brought some notoriety. Then there's Pennsylvania, the battleground state. Depending upon how Trump does, it could wind up impacting the race there. You got incumbent Democrat Bob Casey, who's a senator. He's got, his race is literally gone from 7.6 points ahead for him to now he's down to 4 points, just outside the margin of error. All I'm saying is this: we're looking at Republicans could take it, and Republicans could take even more than what we're thinking. So do not portray this as being a non-issue. It's still an issue, but we're going to go there as best we can. All right, I got to take a break right now. I ran long. So JP, take me to the break. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Don't forget, by the way, coming up top of the hour, one of those major down-ballot races is right here in Alabama. We'll have Caroline Dobson on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Talking about those down-ballot races. And don't forget, coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll have Caroline Dobson on, who is the Republican running for Alabama's brand spanking new Congressional District 2. And she is... She's going to be on to give us an update on the race and talk about some things that have happened here in recent days. I'm looking at a Real Clear Politics polling list, and I'm looking at the number of Senate positions that they say are toss-ups. I've got toss-ups that have gone to, like okay, Maryland has gone from being a toss-up in the Senate race to a lean Democrat. Lean means it's a little bit Democrat. And then I've got a toss-up in Montana that's gone from being a complete toss-up to now it's lean GOP. So this is one of the most volatile election seasons I think we've ever seen. And then I've got like Florida and Maryland, Arizona. Florida was lean Republican, is now a toss-up. The other two were lean Democrat. They're now both toss-ups. I mean, this is all across the board. We're looking at things everywhere where the margins are so thin that the down-ballot races are just as competitive and just as, I guess, gamey as anything that we've seen at the presidential level. And they are, by the way, going to make a huge difference in our lives. They are. So, all right, looking around the world here, so to speak, at the down ballots, I've got a whole list from the Cook Political Report of all the House races that are considered to be, you know, up for grabs. Now, the Cook Political Report says currently the Alabama House seat that we're talking about with Caroline Dobson, they're showing as of, what's the date on this one? As of 3 days ago, they're saying that it is likely Democrat, likely, up by 4 points. I don't think that's accurate. I think there's a lot of voter apathy. I think you're going to wind up seeing some things. I think it's much closer than that. And I don't know what other polls we've got out there, but I've been hearing more like 2 to 3 points. So that's interesting, but I'm watching right now. We've got toss-up Democrat races around the nation. We've got toss-up Republican races around the nation. And then we still got some that are considered lean on both. So, folks, House and Senate races, no fooling. I think we're going to retain the House. I think we have a chance for it to be even, you know, better with races like this one in Alabama District 2. But we're going to wind up having to go on narrow margins to the Senate. But I think there's a strong chance that Republicans could come in with like a 2 to 3 seat majority in the Senate. And then the question becomes the presidential. If we can get all three, and I'm laying it out as an if because there's still work to be done, but if we can get all three, good Lord, it's a whole new day. So, by the way, I got a poll right here. This came out this is about a month old. 1819 News reported on Alabama Congressional District 2 that Caroline Dobson was down by 3 points. But that's pretty much the margin of error. So if we're going to say that I don't think it's a likely Dem. I think it's a lean Dem right now race in Alabama District 2. And by the way, if you're not familiar, that District 2 was redrawn, and it's sprawls. All right, it covers the Montgomery region, and heads on down towards Mobile. It covers part of the Black Belt region, and even picks up a little bit of the Wiregrass. It's big. But Caroline Dobson will be on in just a minute. She'll give us the update on where we are because, y'all, we got to take that seat. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. The races that we have in our congressional and U.S. Senate seats right now are as every bit as important to our daily lives as anything that goes towards the White House. I suggest that we really have to have all three. If we're going to recover, if we're going to get some things rectified from what we just went through for the last 4 years, the only way that's going to happen is for us to secure all three. And I just went through the stats with you. There are toss-ups everywhere right now. And the margins of error are too small. But right now, one of the most competitive races in the nation running within its margin of error, so to speak, is right here in Alabama. And, you know, he picked, oh, it's red state Alabama. Phil, red state Alabama, what could go wrong? Well, I got news. Democrats got their way, and they had a new Alabama district, Congressional District 2, drawn. And we have a Republican, though, that is just beating the bushes, shaking the hands, kissing the babies, and doing all the things it takes. And she is right now running a close race to be the Republican congressional representative from Alabama's District 2, Caroline Dobson, on the phone right now. Caroline, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you. And listen, just having run for a state Senate race, I just know how exhausting it is, and that was only 4 counties. You've got like a third of the state, it feels like, with your new district, and you're running it like a scalded dog, though, from what I can see.
Yeah, that's the only way to run it, and regardless the size of the race, I think on some of the smaller races it's just as challenging because you technically could actually try to meet everyone in those four counties. So I have so much appreciation in running for office. Not that I didn't already, but I have a newfound sense of appreciation for city council member races and county commission races, school board. It's all so, so important. But yes, no, this race is incredibly important and crucial, not just to the continued success of Alabama and sending folks to Washington that are going to fight for Alabamians, but also when it comes to the future of our country. And if we don't maintain control of the House, if we don't increase our majority in the House, it could mean the difference between whether we actually get our economy back on track, whether we secure our borders, and whether we fully and finally stop the woke ideology nonsense that the left is trying to indoctrinate our youngest generation with.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I got to say, I'll step back from policy just for a minute, even though I think policy is what we've got to start looking more at. But I also know, too, that running a race like you're doing right now becomes a very personal issue. You're actually hanging yourself out there for the world to see and approve of. You're having to run on steam, basically, and get as much as you can done and meet as many people as you can. And there's the feeling that there's always one more hand to shake. But tell us about that. You've been beating the bushes. How many counties are actually in your district?
There are 13 counties.
Wow.
So two of those are partial counties, but yes, 13 counties. And there's a lot of diversity in the counties, some big cities, small towns, lots of rural areas. But what I really have appreciated, though, is what we do have in common. And the message is consistent with folks that I speak with, regardless of what parties they characterize themselves as. It's we want our communities to be safer, and we want more opportunities for our kids. And so I'm running to fight for Alabama families, and that rallying cry has certainly resonated with folks across the district because we're frankly tired of Washington insiders continuing to spend recklessly and to fund Washington instead of focusing on the needs in real America. And this race is very clear. That's a very stark choice because my opponent is not another Alabama Democrat. He spent his entire adult career in Washington. He started leasing an apartment in the district 2 days before the filing deadline.
Wow. Yeah.
He is very much a product of Washington and, big dark money PACs spent close to $3 million on him in the primary and runoff. He is the Washington pick, and here is a chance for Alabamians, again, Republican, but also some Democrat, to say, look, we don't want more of the same. We want change, and we want folks that are focused on delivering results.
Well, I think, one of the things that I noticed, too, when I look at your race is there was a lot of talk when that district was drawn, that it was drawn to benefit the Democrats. And yet he is not pulling away. That's the thing that really strikes me is he's plateaued. He is not pulling away. And your race, depending upon which poll you look at right now, you guys are running pretty much within the margin of error on most of the polls. Am I right?
We have not. Our campaign has not done any polling recently. So kind of what we're hearing are different flash polls at different news. But yes, from what we're hearing from other folks, we're planning to go out in the field in the next couple of weeks to kind of get a final assessment of the situation. But yes, what we're hearing from other sources is that it's very neck and neck. And also, again, I think in this political climate we're in, most folks say that Republicans are underperforming in polls, versus the reality of what Election Day looks like. So there is no room for complacency by any means, and we are absolutely the underdog. But we feel confident, and I feel again led to fight this fight and try to deliver a better day for folks in South Alabama.
Well, let me ask you this too, with the few minutes that we have here. He has not gotten on stage with you very many times, but y'all did just have what I think about a week ago. Didn't you have one that was hosted in Montgomery, Montgomery Area Chamber of Commerce hosted a forum with the two of you on stage together. And I'm curious, Was there any question at all about the immigration policies that we're seeing and the effect it's having on even small towns in Alabama? Did he address those issues? How did that go?
Yes. Well, there wasn't a direct question about that, but when you're talking about the strain on resources, the strain on rural hospitals, rural health care is certainly a big issue in this district. And part of the problem is, you know, the influx of non-taxpayers that are seeking medical services and don't have any way to pay for it. The economy, of course, we've seen a strain on just our resources in general. This particular debate was right before the devastation of Hurricane Helene and the fact that Majorca says we don't have any money because we've spent it on non-taxpayers. But no, when pressed, he just wants to say that he's been to the border and that the border isn't an issue that voters care about, which shows to me that he hasn't been out in these communities because people in this district, again, regardless of the party, are very concerned about the border, have had friends and family members who have perished due to fentanyl overdose. My own godbrother in Montgomery died of a fentanyl overdose.
Oh, wow.
80 to 90% of the fentanyl precursors, are made in China. They cannot be legally imported, so they are coming through the southern border. That is the way that they're getting into our country. So the 100,000 Americans that died of fentanyl overdose, you can link that directly to the policies of the Biden-Harris administration and really, truly the Biden transition team who decided to open the border. My opponent was part of that team. So, you know, he has some culpability in this.
I would agree. Let me ask you one other thing, too. I saw on social media you were at a recent, I think it was Young Republicans or maybe it was YAF, I'm not sure, but you were at a gathering. And one of the things I really noticed, aside from the fact that you were there, was, you know, the I hate to use the word diversity because it's so abused by liberals right now, but the diversity of the group. I mean, there's young black guys and girls and white and basically a pretty running the gamut in terms of representation of the demographics. And I would say that your district is one of those. Your district is like that a lot. And I'm wondering what you're seeing in terms of the stereotypes that the black vote is only for Democrats. I don't think that's the case anymore, and I wonder what you're seeing in the field.
No, and it's insulting to black voters. And that's why, you know, this district was created to have a higher black voting age population. Roughly 2 in 7 Alabamians is black. And so the premise of this district creation was that 2 in 7 congressional districts would be either majority or have a higher black voting age population. And so immediately the mainstream media and Democrats jumped on that as saying, oh, that means that's another Democrat seat. But I'm very, very grateful and honored to be endorsed by the minority GOP party of Alabama. And yes, the Young Republicans represent a cross-section of backgrounds, ethnicities, professions, and so it's young people who realize that unless we do something and turn this country around, you know, the state of the world is in jeopardy, and also just, you know, young people recognizing that they're not going to be able to purchase a home. They're not going to be able to provide their children the same quality of life that they grew up. I mean, we all hope to provide our children better than what we had growing up. And now the goal really for a lot of folks, we're worried about just being able to provide them what we had. So it's a very real concern. And a lot of young people, again, throughout the state are recognizing that. And again, combating the narrative that if you look a certain way, you have to be a Democrat.
Well, I think that your race is one of those that I think it's one of the most underreported races in the nation in the big picture, not in your area. But I look at it, it's a classic. It's a brand new district. Neither one of you are incumbents. You've got a black Democrat and a white Republican running neck and neck on a good race, and it's also one that can make a difference in the balance of power in the House. And so we're going to be watching you close for the next 30 days. Just run like a scalded dog, Caroline Dobson. Just run like
yes,
a scalded
sir.
Dog.
Will do. I'm so grateful for your support, grateful to have a fantastic campaign team and for the support of the National Party. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer was actually in the state yesterday on to help pump up the troops and raise money on my behalf. So I'm very grateful for the support of the National Party as well.
Well, if folks want to know more about you, where can they find out?
Yes, you can check out DobsonForCongress.com. That's D-O-B as in Bravo, S-O-N-F-O-R, Congress.com. And you can find out, you know, how to phone bank, door knock, poll watch. We have all sorts of volunteer opportunities. Or if you just want to, you know, send the link to your friends in District 2, we'd certainly appreciate it. We have the votes to win, but only if everyone gets out to vote.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Caroline Dobson, thank you so much, and we will talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, take care. All right, you guys, we're going to a break right now, but I'll be honest with you. If you have friends, family, associates, colleagues, Facebook friends, social media warriors, whatever, that live down in AL District 2, tell them, vote. This could be one that makes a difference on the national scale. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. That's what I'm saying. James from St. Clair County, you can just not text me things like that. That'd be great. Thank you very much. Brian from Huntsville says, down ballot, county commissioners are more and more vital as well. Yes, they are. County commissioners, city council, school boards. My gosh. Look at all the power we realize they could have over our lives during COVID, right? So absolutely they are. Brian from Decatur says, I hope that if the Republicans take all three, they don't squander the opportunity. I agree, man. Listen, Brian, say it loud, brother. He says, and don't forgive all the illegalities which have occurred over the last 4 years. They have a tendency to get soft when they get in power, just like when Bush was around. I'm not disagreeing with that. I think there's some things that need to get rectified and it needs to get justified, if you know what I'm saying. So yes, Brian, I agree with you. By the way, forgiveness does not mean there's no accountability, all right? You can forgive. Someone can be forgiven at the same time, still have to deal with the consequences of their actions. So if there are things that have happened, that's like saying Hunter Biden deserves a pardon. He needs to get his life together. Hunter Biden needs to go to jail. I hope that he comes to know the Lord. I hope that he and his father have a great relationship. And he's able to be a daddy to his kids. But the reality is, there is no reason in the world why Hunter Biden should not also face some accountability, him among others. John from Huntsville, I was wondering in the areas where polling stations have been destroyed by Hurricane Helene, if special ballots can be printed with two options on it, straight Republican or straight Democrat. By the way, I always vote straight Republican. John, I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure. I think it's going to be a matter of state law, state decision making, and hopefully state legislation. But it's going to mean a special session, bringing them in real quick, getting a quorum, and actually getting something done if they have to make a quick change. So I'm not sure how to tell you what North Carolina and some of the others are going to do. But it's definitely an issue, especially with the second hurricane coming in right now. Steve from Tennessee says the yard sign poll in Tennessee and North Carolina says Trump is way ahead. Listen, I think that North Carolina, if they can, I don't know, they were a semi-battleground state. Not as deep as some of the others, but if what they've been facing with the frustration and the fecklessness of the federal government's response under Biden-Harris, if that's going to continue, I think they're losing votes daily right now. Hey, speaking of Biden-Harris, I gotta tell you. So the lovely Charlene just sent me something that is just too, there's a lot of talk right now about whether Biden is like torpedoing Harris, like coming out and doing press conferences while she's actually trying to do her, you know, her thing somewhere else, and then she gets upstaged. There's a new Biden counter, all right? So there's this whole thing with Kamala Harris saying, Ron DeSantis is playing politics with hurricanes and won't take my calls. She's the vice president. He pointed out, by the way, that she has never called me in 3.5 years for anything until she's running for president. But then today, Kamala Harris went and did a softball interview on The View with the ladies on The View, slamming DeSantis. And at the same time, Biden went and told reporters DeSantis was doing such a great job that he gave him his cell phone number. And he got to look at it and go, what? Kamala says, DeSantis is utterly irresponsible, not taking my call. DeSantis says, Harris has not called me once in 3.5 years. Kamala on The View, DeSantis is playing political games. Joe Biden, Ron DeSantis is doing a great job. I even gave him my personal cell. You can't make this stuff up. All right, listen, we're going to switch gears. We're about to take a break. When we come back from this break, We're going to have Jeffro Poor on with us from the 1819 News and all the other things he's done in the arena of news. And we're going to talk about a free press. What should we expect? And I got a few examples, and he and I are going to run the gamut on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.